mic on if I'm going to speak. Well, welcome here this morning. We are speaking about joy. This is part of our treasures series, our true treasures series. And this is joy. This is where it comes from. This is the start, and this is where it continues walking through this. But often we don't connect joy with giving. We connect giving and how we manage all that God has given us with duty that we have to, we're supposed to. But it actually flows out of joy. I'm reminded of, as I was just preparing for this, the movie Finding Nemo. And the scene where the seagulls are all fighting over the fish. And they're, mine, 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 mine. And they're all diving on it and they're fighting away. And I mean, that's the prevalent attitude in our culture. It's mine, mine, mine. And we're consumed with that, with accumulating, with taking hold of. And we're happy if I get this. We're happy when I can spend it like this. And it robs us of joy. That attitude of mine, 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 rather than looking what we can do, how we can invest eternally with it. And we're robbed of joy. I mean, true abiding joy that's not dependent on circumstances or externals or things working out just the way we want, but truly joy-filled stewards, managers of all that God has entrusted us. How we manage it flows out of our joy, and it builds our joy when we do it really and truly with Christ. And it's not just about getting our own way. Only what I have done for love's rewards will stand the test of time. It's part of a song that we will hear in future weeks by Robin Mark. But it's a scriptural principle. A lot of what we're grabbing for, mine, 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 it's only temporary. And it's even the joy or the happiness we get from it is really fleeting and temporary. And it just doesn't last with that immediate gratification. We want something to appease our needs right now, but we fail to invest for the true future. And so as I want you to think about this, we're going to read our two scripture passages, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, just the first 5 verses. And we'll read the first 9 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and also a bit of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 9. But as we're reading through it, think about the outline in your bulletins. That it's a joy-filled steward. And here's some of the keys of being a joy-filled steward. It's about grace. It's about being genuine. And it's about being generous. So listen for those words. I've highlighted some of the concepts throughout these verses, but listen to this as we read God's word together. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this basic act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And then 2 Corinthians 9. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully or generously will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely and has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, again, these verses are just full, packed full of concepts we need to understand. We're going to tackle a few of them here this morning. Help us understand. Help us submit, as we've been singing about, surrender fully to you, where you're leading and you're guiding, that we would bring glory to you and experience the joy of walking with you and knowing you more. Would you lead us today? We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. The joy of being a joyful, the peace of being, concept of being a joy-filled steward, managing what God has given us. It's all His, not just what we directly give back to Him, but how we spend it all. And the first concept is it's about grace. It really is a picture of grace. The grace of giving, as he speaks of the people giving. This is an act of grace. It's a ministry of grace. It's a grace. The grace of God through the grace of Jesus. Jesus comes and he gives. And they're inseparable. Grace and giving are inseparable. And the Holy Spirit was given by the Father and the Son, that we would have communion relationship with Him, and He leads us to opportunities to give and share what He's given to us or entrusted to us. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that by His poverty you might become rich." He sets aside all the wealth, all the position, and everything He has in heaven, and is born as a helpless baby, but not without purpose, so that we can take hold. We can be fellow heirs with Him, recipients of His grace, of His generous act, of His giving. I'm not the only one that sees this theme, grace and giving, tied throughout these chapters. I've easily found on the internet others' titles for some of these. 2 Corinthians 8 being titled "The Grace of Giving" for the whole chapter. And 2 Corinthians 8, 1-15, a piece of it called "Grace Giving." And 2 Corinthians 9, the grace of giving. And it just overflows with these two themes tied together here. Grace equals giving. If we're truly experiencing how gracious God has been to us, we automatically invest all that He's entrusted us for His benefit, for His glory, for His kingdom, that other people would be able to experience that incredible grace. Like we're praying for Aaron there. He's going to a place where people have never heard the good news before. They don't know about Jesus yet. And we gladly support him in going. We can support many other missionaries. Get the word out there. But we got to realize we're all missionaries. We're all recipients of God's grace if we're in relationship with Him. And we all have opportunities to pass that on in all sorts of ways. And one of the ways we do it is the way we invest what He's entrusted to us. We're looking at our passage. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. Grace has been given, and now they're giving. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty Ever put those two things together? We probably have a hard time doing that in North America, hey? Their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty. We think, how can they possibly have an abundance of joy when they're in extreme poverty? But here's where it goes. And their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity. They're so overwhelmed, this ministry of grace, that they overflow even out of their poverty. For they gave according to their means, and I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. Not because it was mandated, but they just, it's a natural outflow. They live this out. In 2 Corinthians 9, similar theme, jumping partway down. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. In every good work. When we're receiving the grace of God and we're growing in the grace, right? 2 Peter, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we're growing in grace, giving becomes natural. It just overflows out of it. Giving of self and all that he's entrusted to us, investing it for God, for his. It's already his. And grace gives to us as well, that we would overflow in all of these things. Grace is gives, as I said, they're inextricably linked. And it's not because we deserve, and we don't give because someone else so deserves it. We give because we get to. We get to. None of us deserve the grace of God. But we get to. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Right? When we recognize, not because we earned it, but he comes and lives as a baby, lives his pure, perfect life, and he dies for us. Thanks be to God, right? It's about the crucifixion and the resurrection as much as it is the gift, right? We sometimes think as the baby is a gift, but his whole sinless life is a gift, an act of grace for us, as is his crucifixion and his resurrection and his ascension. They're all gifts of grace for us. And God gives first, and then of course his body has the same character, and we joyfully give as well. So it is about grace. It's also about being genuine, giving out of who we truly are. 2 Corinthians 8:5, and they did not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. That's who their true nature is. They give to the Lord. We do as believers. We surrender fully to Jesus. And that means also serving those around us in whatever way he leads us to. 2 Corinthians 8:6 to 9. Accordingly, we urge Titus. Actually, I'm going to jump down to the second paragraph. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. And it goes on, it switches back about grace again. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that you might by his poverty become rich. Would we have that same attitude, that by what we give and what we do without, often it's not even that great sacrifice on our part, but it could be, what we do without, how we choose to live with some measure of poverty, do without something, that it would reap a fruit in someone else's life. And that's who we are. This is living genuine. We sometimes think of being genuine, if we look at the definition on the next slide there, real, authentic, natural, not fake or artificial. Truly what something is said to be. Sometimes we're going, yeah, but you know what? I don't feel like it yet. So I'm not going to give towards that or serve in this way because I don't feel like it yet and it wouldn't be genuine. That's a misunderstanding of what genuine is. It doesn't give our feelings the ultimate control. We go, we are believers and we're taking on the character of Christ, and this is living genuine. He comes to serve, not to be served, and guess what? So do we. We come to serve. That's being genuine with who we really are. It's not waiting for our feelings can catch up later. But we think, well, until I really feel like it or I'm really... No, it's not based on us. Being genuine here is living out who we truly are in Christ. And sometimes it will feel awkward. It will feel like something we don't want to do. But we act in accord with who we truly are and let our feelings catch up later. We look like recipients of grace when we are giving. And we seem like, we come across like, we actually trust God to take care of our needs when we don't have that mind attitude. And we're freely giving. Because the genuineness leads to our next point of being generous. And we serve an incredibly generous God. Generous definition, free in giving or sharing. Freely. It's not conditional. It's not, well, I give you this, but there's an unstated, I'm scratching your back in this way, you better scratch mine. No, it's free giving and sharing. And the second part, noble, synonymous with being open-handed. Like, why? Why would the people of God hoard things when we have Almighty God taking care of us? And it demonstrates that we actually trust our God when we're seen as generous. Just like thunder follows lightning, giving follows grace. They're inseparable. You see the lightning, it travels faster, right? You can count it off, know how far away it is, but thunder's going to happen. When we're really receiving grace, giving's going to happen. If it's not, there's a disconnect. Something is actually broken there. And these chapters are full of it. We're just talking through some of these pieces about it this morning. 2 Corinthians 1-5 again. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches. It's been given of Macedonia. For in severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. A wealth of generosity from people who are in extreme poverty. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, there's a trust factor, hey? Beyond their means, right? That woman in the Gospels, everybody's coming through. Some of them are dropping their thing in, making a big show about it. Clink, clink, right? There's an exchange. They're not saying, oh, look at me. Think highly of me by how much I give. But in all their actions, they're going, okay, I want some glory for myself for this. But a woman comes along and drops in just a small coin. And Jesus' comment to his disciples, she's given more than all. Because she gave everything she had. She's fully trusting God. You'll take care of me. I don't need to hold this thing. And it doesn't matter how much we have. We can have the attitude of hoarding, whether we have a whole bunch or a tiny little wee bit. We can have the attitude of hoarding. What can we get out of this? For they gave beyond their means, of their own accord. They choose it. Begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Because they get the bigger picture. Look at what this will do. It will relieve the suffering of the saints, free them up to do ministry, right? Like Larry and Joyce should just go over to the Philippines and get a full-time job and support themselves and then try and do some ministry on the side. I know that's what most of us are called to do, but can we free them up because of what God would do and support them so that full time they can train Filipinos to go to the rest of the world to impact the kingdom of God? Because which one's temporary, right? We can focus on what we can do right now, immediate gratification in the short term, or we can focus on what we can do for eternity. And they give beyond their means because they see the impact that it's going to have. And they surrender themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to others. And we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Being generous is about taking part in something that's way bigger than any one of us, but watching God do something way bigger than that. If we look at the next slide there, a picture of generosity coming together and watching God do amazing things. The early Christians were dirt poor, but they came up with every reason to give. That's what Paul's saying in this passage. The early Christians were dirt poor, but they came up with every reason to give. Earnestly begging us to be involved in the work. Can we play this role? Contrast that with most in our society. Most who manage so much more, but come up with endless justifications not to give. How can we be so inconsistent with the one we call is the head of the body, and we're the body, and then be content to live inconsistently in that? It comes down to not understanding, not receiving, growing in the grace of God. We go back to 2 Corinthians 9, latter verses 10 to 15. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. We can be generous in every way, and it produces thanksgiving to God. But we recognize it starts there. He who supplies everything we have and everything we are is already God's. It's already a gift to us. And how can we not be generous with someone else's stuff and use it in the way they would want, he would want? For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. This is the evidence of grace in our lives, that we would be giving and serving like Jesus is giving and serving. God first, then us. We learn to receive from God, and as we're receiving, we're just generous with it. It just flows out of us. Like I said earlier, there's a disconnect when it's not. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Blessed by God's generosity, and then learning trusting in God's faithfulness. Right? So many of the offerings in the Old Testament, the principle there is of first fruits. God gives some, and I give the first part of that away. Trusting, yes, he will produce more. Being generous is in the Old Testament, lots. Proverbs 11:25. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. It's a powerful thing here. We don't need to take care of ourselves, right? Look after Mr. One first. Number one, whatever. We don't need to pursue. We don't have to have that mind attitude. God is taking care of us. And yet we slip into at times, don't we, thinking we need to. I need this much of this, and I want that, and I want this, and this will make me happy. And we're robbing ourselves of joy of giving. And there's a disconnect with grace. When we gaze upon Christ long enough, we will become more of a giver. And even when we don't feel like it, if we give long enough, we will become more like Christ. Right? Our theme passage, Matthew, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Sometimes our heart is rooted way too much here on earth in the temporary stuff. And one way to get it more towards an eternal perspective is to start giving first, even when it feels uncomfortable, and give in some way to His kingdom that doesn't directly benefit us. Learn to be more generous. You know, just as our passage points out here, but often poor people are the most generous. Right? We've experienced this, and it's really humbling. It's awkward, isn't it? To receive a gift from someone you know doesn't have near as much as you. Beverly really remembers one of the first missions trips we went on down in Mexico. She and a team of girls were hosted in the woman's house, tiny little house, much less than we live in normally. And she has one room in a very hot climate that's air conditioned. And where she make Beverly and the girls stay and get that air conditioned room. She gives the best of what she has. And we've been in cultures where we know that their regular diet is they get meat maybe twice a month. But while our team is there being hosted by them, they're feeding us meat every day. We know that they're giving beyond their means. And they don't do it begrudgingly, but they do it with joy. We're missing something in North America, brothers and sisters. We're really missing something. And it's being joy-filled stewards of everything that God has entrusted to us. He's put it in our hands for a reason, to make an impact. And there's incredible joy getting to be a part of that. And we got to catch up. We got to understand what we're missing out on. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that is being given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in their extreme generosity. Their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, and as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. And they entered in. What are you up to, God? And how do I get to be a part of it, God? You've given me so much, way more than I deserve. How can I pass that on to someone else? I don't want to just be a recipient of the living water. I want to pass on that living water. I want to be a conduit. Pass that on as much as possible. He who supplies, see, it's a trust issue. He who supplies the seed to the sower for bread, for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. He produces the fruit. But we make it available. We invest what He's put entrusted to us. And it results, as this goes on, results in thanksgiving. God being glorified. We've just approved a new mission statement. Followers of Jesus seeking to glorify God. How is what He's entrusted us to? Oh, I'm not carrying my wallet. How is it, including our finances, how is that? All the stuff He's entrusted us. How is that? How am I investing that that would bring glory to God, the one who's worthy of all glory and praise? And doing it willingly. To live counterculturally, not as the seagulls. Mine. It makes a funny cartoon, but it makes a really tragic life. and a desperately tragic Christian life. Jesus comes as one counterculturally, and we're called to live counterculturally. Will we live counterculturally? Will we be recipients of grace, ongoing, receiving, and genuine with who we are, not with what we feel like or whatever else, who we truly are in Christ? And then generosity starts to flow through. We give to all sorts of ways. And in the end, we also benefit. We end up becoming more joy-filled stewards. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we rob ourselves when we cling to things. We recognize that joy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. As we engage you, as we're receiving from you, encountering your grace regularly, consistently, that joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You produce joy in us. And yet we can rob ourselves and you and others in the way we steward what you've entrusted to us. We want to do it in an open-handed way, consistent with who you've called us to be and who we are in you. And we want to be more generous, God. Would you open our eyes up to the needs around us, that we, like the Macedonian church, would beg to be a part of it. Can I please play a role in this? And give us the faith to act on that. We want to see you glorified, God. We want to see your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Work through us, God. We pray for your glory and our joy. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.